North-South Connection. Welcome back to the Temple, and welcome back to Linking Up Luchas. I'm your host, Logan Croslin, and tonight we will continue to look at the characters, matches, and drama Lucha Underground has to offer. Let me now bring in my co-host for the night, Scott Shiflett. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Logan. We're getting towards the end of Season 1 of Linking Up Lucha, and to be honest, I thought 34 and 35 episodes for one season was a lot, but I'm like, as someone who watches Raw and like SmackDown close to all the time, it's like, I watch 52-week seasons all the time. This is nothing. And I will say Linking Up Lucha has been a lot of fun to watch. So I'm glad to be back. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think there's one more season that's more episodes than this, but I think it's just like one more. But yeah, this is the longest season other than that one. So, but yeah, we'll get through the rest of this season. But Sean, you're also here. What's up?
Hello. It is good to be back here again with Schiff. That's two episodes in a row we made it together, Schiff. That's impressive since we hadn't been together in a while. But
we're on a roll.
We're on a roll. So next episode, one of us will probably have to miss, but we'll see how it goes. Hopefully not. Listen, I'm with Schiff. Like, no, but good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I know I have my own takes, and I did enjoy and listen to the last episode of this pod where Jenny just nose-stole pretty much everything that I say, which, you know, it's pretty common ground because I have some takes, but I really enjoyed this ride. I think there's good, I think there's bad, I think there's indifferent, but I think overall it's been a very, very entertaining show to do. And, you know, I'm actually excited for where it's headed with Ultima Lucha, kind of like, I assume, the WrestleMania. So I think a lot of the build and storylines has been really, really good. And I think we see a lot of that play out tonight. So happy to be here.
Yeah. And I think it's crazy how it worked out. I think our Ultima Lucha episode actually comes out WrestleMania Sunday. So that's actually really, really, really cool happening that happened to work out that way. But
well, that's pretty good considering all but one of us will all be together. So that'll be good.
That's true. Yes. But we'll be talking about the episodes from July 1st, 2015, July 8th, 2015, tonight. But before we get into tonight's episodes, I'll stick with Sean. What did you think of kind of what we talked about last time? If you watched, what did you think of what you watched? If you just listened, what did you think about what we said?
All right, here comes your Sean rundown of previous episodes like he does, bullet pointed. All right, so first and foremost, we'll talk about Puma versus Mundo all night long. Puma being down 4-1 at the 30-minute mark was really dumb, and I think it made him look bad as champ, especially heading into the season finale. The crowd was actually cheering for Mundo, which, again, bad crowd. The bandstand part where they're playing and then he does the spear into the tables off of it, I thought was a really good highlight. And then Mundo then losing in that same time frame, like towards the end, four falls in a row, and Alberto stepping in was pretty predictable. And then Puma looking around the crowd for approval, and he had like 16 seconds left when he's standing on top to finish Mundo. Again, just made him look stupid. 3 stars. It wasn't a bad match, just with timing and feuds. Like, neither one of these guys are really in a situation where they should have taken 9 losses between them, if you want to really think about it, with Mundo going against Alberto and then Puma against Muertes. I think it didn't do him any justice doing that match. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know. I get you.
Okay. Fly and Star, botchy butt and too long. It was a terrible match. I'm glad she had at least one good match in this history of this pod so far, Logan. Then she's back to suck. So that was good. I did not have Superfly beating her on my bingo card, by the way. I did not see that cut. I thought it was pretty much going to be a job match, you know. So her losing kind of took me out a little bit. Penta calls him Vampiro a virtual lobotomy when he's in a haze, when he went like do the commentary during the four-way was pretty funny. I'd actually be lying if I said I wasn't a little interested. I think Penta needs something to do for Ultima Lucha, and I think they've built it up pretty good, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Marty the Moth, I just put why. I have no idea why he's here. Katrina Ivelisse, yes, please. I will talk more about that later in the show. The four-way Medallion was good. Aerostar walking to Rhodes was really good, but him beating Cage and Mac is dumb as shit. Mac has done shit since he's debuted, and Cage is like fallen fast since his debut. And where the fuck is Swerve? It's Killshot, right? That's his name?
Yeah, Killshot, yes.
Like, I feel like they've debuted him and Mac, and they haven't done shit. We haven't seen Killshot but once or twice. So why debut and then like not do anything with them? And then, again, they also make Rick Daivari's bitch. I don't understand. They debut them as a trio, and none of them are really doing anything. Hernandez attacking Drago prior to Muerte's match kind of ruined it for me a little bit. I get the come from behind thing, but the, you know, there's like no doubt that who was going to win that match. But what I loved about this match, it was kind of a squash, but not a squash. mixed with a bit of Drago shine. But as much as I love Drago, Muertes right now is like next level. And I hope the fuck he destroys Puma and Konnan. Like, I am so over those two. Even Puma, like, for me, his title reign is just drag. He hasn't said anything. He's kind of Konnan's bitch. But I really like this show for Muertes in this match. And I'd lose just to get the lick of death from Katrina if I were any opponent whatsoever. And then last but not least, the commentary hasn't really been bugging me. So again, I don't know if it's because it's become a normal for me to hear, or I just ignore it, or it's gotten better. But all said, not really sure. So it doesn't bug me. So that's kind of my rundown of the last two episodes. And I know I went long. So Schiff, it's your turn.
I think you're just kind of getting used to it. But yeah, Schiff, what do you think?
What I spoke about the last episode came to fruition, where we've had, you know, Drago win like the number one contender, then he's like, oh wait, you're gonna face Mil Muertes, and then Mil wins. It's like, just have Mil win it from the start. Like, there's no reason. And it makes Drago, you know, punks Drago out. I know the Hernandez thing that Sean was talking about, but it's just frustrating. I don't know, like, everything like that they do good, like, then they do like some idiotic stuff where it's like some you know, for you guys, Highway to Impact Zone, TNA level booking with certain things. And it's just frustrating. And, you know, they could have got so many different ways with Hernandez. Like, they do all these great backstage like segments. Like, why not just do a backstage segment of like Hernandez and Puma? I mean, not in Puma, but Drago, like, having issues, like, instead of like just dragging it through, you know, making the match, you know, they could just, you know, I'm not a writer, but they could have done something better than what the stereotypical wrestling thing, because they've been trying to preach they're not wrestling, they're lucha, and it's like, really, like, you're doing circa WWE 2012 shit. So it's not a way for you to get behind your baby faces, is what I'm getting at. And like, they had that great thing with Drago where he won, you know, he came back through a technicality, and he comes back and he wins number one contender, and you're feeling great. And then they take it away a couple weeks later. So it's just frustrating. The Sexy Star Superfly match, like, Superfly, whatever. Like, you know. But I will say one of the best things that they're building up now, surprisingly, is Pentagon and Vampiro. And even though I hate both of them because I think they're boring as hell, Patron and Mundo, which I'm glad I did not have to watch that match. The all night long match, because there's only been like a handful of good Iron Man matches. I want to say MJF and Danielson. I was even a fan, more of a fan of the Triple H Rock match from that Judgment Day, than the Mania match between Shawn and HBK, if I'm being completely honest. But
it's a hard match to pull off for sure.
Yeah, it's a hard match. Like, I think 30 minutes is better, not a 60-minute match. Like, Sean, I know you're not going to like this, but I remember Beach Blast 92, like, in Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat's 30-minute match.
Oh, God, that match was so bad.
I enjoyed it. So
absolutely terrible.
I couldn't remember if we watched it for 7 months of Danger, which
we did not. I avoided that. I avoided that like the plague, so we ended before it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. So,
yeah, of course not.
But, yeah, it's just... Like, for every hit they have just as many misses, if not more. And, you know, I think we're just accustomed to the weird talking with, like, Vampiro's trying to be like Kevin Nash circa 1998 on commentary, where he's like, oh, look at this dork with knows the wrestling moves, as he like, tries to get his own shit in on commentary, and we're just accustomed to it now. I'm sure if, like, we jumped in on these episodes, we would... You know, if we started it for some reason, Flogan was like, let's start at the end of season one and work our way back like a Benjamin Button. We would just be like, they're dumb, which is a good idea for a podcast, but never mind. But yeah,
it's very clear the commentary has become normal for me at this point based on what you just said, Chef.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like white noise.
It's kind of like watching Tommy Young as a referee, it just becomes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Much. You get me on that.
Tommy Young.
No,
sorry, I threw you off.
No, it's fine. Sorry. That's you know, I will say you guys did a great job going over the Iron Man match. That's a hard match to watch, and I think even harder to discuss on podcasts like these. And y'all did a great job.
I agree.
So,
thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Do you also hate Marty the Moth like everyone else?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like who?
I mean. He was on a match on this that I watched. But I will say, when Sean said he was watching wrestling all weekend, I called him Sean the Sloth, and no one responded to that message. So,
because I'm not real sure what you meant by it, so I moved on.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway,
kayfabe.
I was just going with it, but yeah, like we seem spoiler alert on this episode, and it's all of 30 seconds, which I think is wonderful. So, yeah, but no, it's I do have some questions about coming up. Like, I'm just going to ask them now, Logan. These medallions that they've been hyping up so much, spoiler alert for these two episodes, we don't see them talked about at all. Like, they're mentioned very briefly in episode 2 tonight, but they're never brought up again. And how many episodes until Ultima Lucha? One more?
Yeah, we have one more podcast episode. And then...
and we got 4 medallions to give out. What, 3 or 4 medallions? Because they said it was 7. Like
4, yeah.
Yeah, and it's... 3 out of 4, yeah. Yeah, and that's just like another thing. It's just like they forgot about it, like WCW forgetting the TV title, and then Scott Hall throwing it in the trash, and Jim Duggan takes it out. So
they'll be a big part of the next 2 episodes. Maybe maybe they kind of put themselves into a corner, but that's kind of how it works out there.
But Schiff frees up a bigger problem for me. Like, there's a lot that's not mentioned. Like, Lotus, you don't see, like, there's so much missing, and you forget, and then they try to do these little mini recaps, but you don't see some people for episodes at a time, and you forget. So I think that's a bigger issue.
They put old girl right across from Intanza, whose name I can't even remember, and they just mentioned and we haven't seen her since Chavo turned on her, and it's like it's been like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we don't see her these 2 episodes either. So
yeah, I think they kind of put that one on the back burner to kind of finish the Chavo story, but we'll see as we go into the couple episodes as well. So
we saw what happened.
She'll be back. I mean, it'll get resolved. It's just I think they kind of wanted to focus on other things at first, you know. So, but we'll get into tonight's episodes. Episode 34 is titled "Gold and Guerreros." Talking about
should have been your first clue.
What we'll get into tonight. We open the episode with highlights of Chavo's kind of season-long story of pissing off Mexico and his treachery towards Black Lotus and kind of turning on her. And, you know, like we talked about, she's in the cage across from Matanza now. We get some highlights of the rivalry between Daivari and Tejano, as well as Drago winning the number one contendership, only to be followed by the destruction that he faced from Mil Muertes the week after and losing his number one contendership to him. We cut to Dario's office where he's counting money. Chavo comes in. He praises him for taking out Demon for a second time. Chavo wants his final request granted, which is a title match. Cueto then says he could have it, and anything goes. Chavo also wants Conan not to get involved. Dario then says if he gets involved, the title will change hands. We then get Mexican Dubweiser.
I'm so glad they're back, Logan.
Playing a
you mentioned
yeah.
them. They were on the all-night-long match. It's just a great name. Like, come on.
Sounds like a Matt Souza college band. That's what I wrote down. Mexican Budweiser.
Yeah. But it was weird. They played 1 week, and then they left, and then they were back. So they must have taped in a weird cycle.
Yeah, I wonder if they taped them out of order or something.
Mm-hmm. Must have. But Striker and Vamp bring us in and tell us about the kind of jam-packed night ahead, all the matches we have. Because this is actually a 4-match episode, which we usually have 3, maybe 2, but 4. We have a 4-episode night or 4-match night tonight. So just quickly, Schiff, what do you think of the Dario-Chavo scene?
Of everything Chavo could ask for, he's asked for a world title match. Here long enough, you can steal it from someone. I'd be asking. And I thought he was like, I love how Dario and Bart was like, what more do you want? Like, I gave you protection with the crew. And he's like, I want more. It's like, dude, you're not Eddie Guerrero. You're Chavo. Like, you're lucky you're on TV. Like, come on. But I think, like I said, this goes back to, like, 2012 WWF and everything with, like, anything goes match. If Conan gets involved, like, Puma loses the title. If the crew farts, Chavo wins the title. It's like, what are we doing? Like, not everything has to have a stipulation. Like, let it build up. Like, we literally are coming off, like, all these different, like, matches. And it's like, world title match between Chavo freaking Guerrero does not need to be, like, a Bloodline rules match. Like, that's what he's trying to make it. So there you go.
I got you. Sean, what did you think of the quick interaction?
Like I said, I'm glad they recapped the Lotus stuff because I actually forgot all about it. And it's been multiple episodes since we revisited it. And good, bad, or indifferent, Chavo, Tejano, I mean, they're doing a really good job recapping the storylines. And then I put, what the fuck? I don't need Chavo versus fucking Puma. Although Chavo wanting Konnan out, we share a passion for, but god damn it. I guess in the grand scheme of things, it makes sense for him to, this is kind of like where the storyline went, where he's going to face Puma. But the way it plays out for me, oh god, I just, we'll talk about it when we get to the match, but fuck this episode and fuck Chavo Guerrero. Sorry, spoiler alert.
I think we can all agree on that one. Yes. But yeah, we'll move on to our first match. It's going to be Delvar Daivari versus Tejano. They immediately start brawling as soon as Tejano gets in the ring. Tejano scores with a big back body drop, which causes Daivari to kind of bail to the outside and hide behind Rick. Daivari then catches Tejano coming back in and lays in some strikes before Tejano turns the tables and hits some chops of his own. Tejano then scores with a forearm and a helo. Rick then grabs Tejano's foot and allows Daivari to chop block him. Daivari then starts working on the leg. Daivari then distracts the ref so Rick can get a couple of shots in on the outside. Back in, Daivari locks in a figure four. Tejano is able to break out, but Daivari gets some more working on the leg. Tejano eventually gets an elbow and reverses a top rope Hurricane Rana before hitting a middle rope drop kick. Back up, they trade some chops before Tejano hits a leg lariat off of a whip. Tejano then goes for a powerbomb, but Daivari turns it into a facebuster. Rick then has Tejano's bull rope tied around his fist as Daivari Irish whips him that way, but Tejano is able to duck and super kick him off the apron, and then Tejano scores with a sit-out powerbomb and gets the win. So, Sean, what did you think of this opener?
So, I just don't care about either one of these guys. So, like, put them on Lucha Jack or something with Superfly, the Lucha Small Fry, and the Great Value Lucha Adrian Adonis. They Lucha could all, like, Velocity. Go over there. Yeah, like Lucha Velocity, right? With the Small Fry
Lucha
guy.
Lucha Dark.
Yeah, Lucha Dark. Match wasn't awful, but again, I don't care. It's just meh. I went to Gentleman 2, which is probably being on a nice end. And again, Rick, you know, again, another one that's fallen from grace. So I don't have a lot to say about this match. It's a waste of my time, and let's move on.
I got you. Schiff, what'd you think?
So Tejano has grown on me to come when he came in. I thought he was just going to be like the Patron, like just to get Patron over where he like whooped his ass and we never see him again. So I do like how he's like stuck around. Daivari, you know, the best part of his gimmick was Muhammad Hassan. So less said about him, the better. I will say how I like how they worked like Tejano's leg. Like, he even, like, was selling a leg and he, like, fell down at one point when he was trying to get back up, which I thought was nice. Then Daivari worked the figure four. Tejano reversed out of it. And then Tejano actually hit a middle rope dropkick that was nice. And then a nice leg lariat, which goes against every, like, how he's just working the leg, but whatevs. Tejano then tried a powerbomb. And I guess. Then Daivari reversed to an X-Factor. And then we see Big Rick just failing. So, like, they're making, like, the biggest bastard on the show looked like a moron where he missed hitting Tejano with the bull rope. And then like Tejano hit the super kick on Big Rick and hit the power bomb. I went 2.25. It was nothing offensive. Like I said, like they're doing a good job of getting Tejano over in my eyes because like he's like a quasi baby face right now.
Yeah. I went gentlemen's too, like Sean did. Yeah, I think this is the best match you could have gotten out of these two. I think Daivari's just kind of limited and just kind of terrible at the same time. I think Tejano has his strengths, but he needs to be in there with somebody that can kind of help him along, you know. Yeah, Daivari's just not that guy. But I thought it was as good as it probably could be. But, you know, that probably peaks at 2 stars. So, but yeah, not a bad match, but I definitely think they probably did the best they could.
Nobody cares.
True. I'm just kidding.
No, I was saying nobody cares about these two. Yeah, except for Schiff, who likes Tejano apparently.
But we go from there and we cut back to Puma training. Conan tells Puma it doesn't matter that the deck is stacked against him. He's known Chavo for a long time, and he's a lot of things, but he ain't a champion. Katrina then appears and says if he survives tonight, he's going to need all the help he can get because Mill will destroy anyone that stands between him and his title. Conan then says all that Katrina is saying is mind games, and he needs to stay focused on the goal ahead. We then cut to another scene where Conan is back talking to kind of someone hidden behind a locker. Says he's known for a while that this person wants to get their hands on Chavo for what he did to Blue Demon and the disrespect he showed to Mexico. Says Chavo never would have asked for a title shot if he didn't have another trick up his sleeve. So tonight, the person he's talked to needs to repay the debt from Mexico and give some payback to Chavito. So, Schiff, what'd you think of these couple of Conan scenes?
First off, Conan calls Chavo unscrupulous. So, just amazing, amazing word. Literally, like, probably the best. Like, I think y'all hating on Conan too much. I've enjoyed him in this role. It's the truth. And then, like,
now said commentary's blending in. I think you're letting, like, Conan and Tejano blend in with you now, too. You're just getting used to it.
Potentially, or I was in a good mood watching this. So, then, like, we have Mill show up, which we finally get some Mill and Puma interaction, mm-hmm. which, you know, sort of telegraphs what's going to happen later tonight, but, you know, it is what it is. And I liked how we see, like, Conan talking to someone about getting rid of Chavo. I was like, oh, we getting a new character tonight? And it's like, wait to be seen. Because, like, you know, they did say from the start that Mexico was coming for Chavo, and karma came for him later. So, I was like, please don't be talking to Hernandez, who's worthless.
Awesome Kong shows up? I didn't know that. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You said karma. Sean, what do you think about Conan scenes?
I like how Hernandez is worthless, that you like Conan and Tejano, so I, whatever.
Dude, Hernandez is, like, the worst wrestler I think I've ever seen.
I think you're wrong. He's not great, but I could tolerate him way more than I can tolerate Conan, for sure. But anyway, one thing shifted, not
peel press, my potatoes, Sean.
Anyway, Katarina is unreal. Like,
you mean Katrina?
Katrina, whatever her fucking name is. I love, like, Muertes and Puma as the main event, and if I were Puma, I would cough up my title just to see where exactly I would get the lick of death on me if I actually gave her my title, where she would do it at. That's what I would do. I would just cough up the title.
Your armpit.
Fuck that. No, not. I wasn't thinking of my armpit.
Your feet. She licks your big toe.
I'm not thinking of that either. Conan has too much presence on this show. I am so over Conan, and I hope whoever Mexico is destroys Chavo, yet my dream does not come true in who Mexico ends up being, which pisses me off even more. So we'll leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
Schiff is in a good mood today. I think seeing a man called Sting has made him a very happy boy, and I think he's very, very happy right now. So,
dude, legit. Sorry, we're recording this today after AEW Revolution. Spoiler alert. I've watched the most wrestling in, like, the past week than I think I've watched within, like, everything. It's just so much.
No, yeah, I get it. I've
so I give you the pass. I'm feeling good about some of these people, Schiff. I'm not going to give you too much shit because you literally just saw your idol. So I give you props. Give you props.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get back on topic. I'm glad you got to see him too. But we'll move on to our next match. It's going to be Drago versus Hernandez. I'm not a big fan of the Hernandez onesie that he started wearing.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
It's like this black monstrosity with, like, a big cross in the middle of it. It's bad. But Hernandez gloats early that Drago can't match his strength. Drago then shows he doesn't need to beat him with strength and uses speed to constantly catch Hernandez off guard to start things. First big move of the match is Drago hitting a springboard dropkick. He then leg sweeps him and hits a senton. Follows that with some kicks while Hernandez is grounded. Hernandez is able to change the momentum by catching Drago during a Hurricane Rana attempt and actually hits a buckle bomb. Hernandez then stomps him on the ground, gets him back up with some big chops and a neck crank. Hernandez then manhandles him and hits a set-out shoulder backbreaker. More big chops and a power slam. Drago avoids a charge in the corner but runs to the other corner and back with a dropkick. They then end up on the top rope where Drago hits a Hurricane Rana. Drago then avoids a charge by the ropes, and Hernandez falls to the outside. Drago then hits a somersault dive to the outside. They battle for a bit around the ring before Drago ends up on the apron where he hits another awesome springboard dive. They battle some more before Hernandez is able to hit a border toss on the hardest part of the ring. Hernandez then steals a belt off of a fan and beats Drago with it and gets DQ'd by choking him around the rope. Then after the match, Hernandez gets the mic and says the stupid fans need to understand that dragons aren't real and that the person whose ass he just beat is a man, and anyone that has a problem with that can come in and get their ass whipped too. So, Schiff, what'd you think of Hernandez versus Drago here?
Ugh, I know I shit-talked Hernandez about sucking, but, you know, he's pretty decent against, like, smaller guys, but he, like, got a nice buckle bomb on Drago. Then it's just like, then he worked a chin lock like he was 2009 Randy Orton, stuff without not even close to the charisma. Drago hit a sweet corkscrew dive under Hernandez that was on the, like, from the ring to the floor, which I thought was nice. And then, like, I even had, like, Hernandez hitting the razor's edge on the side of the ring, which was nice, which was disgusting. Then he took a fan's belt and started whipping Drago with him. Now he choked Drago with the belt. And I went, like, 2.5. Then him saying dragons are not real. This is, like, sort of should be meme-worthy as the basketball Batista saying basketball doesn't hold grudges. If you remember that meme, like, with him screaming dragons aren't real. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but poor Drago goes from number one contender to jobbing to Hernandez. All within well,
he technically won, but...
He didn't job, he won.
I mean...
Yeah, I get what you mean, but... Yeah.
But I get you. No, I get it. I totally get it.
He did win, but yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah. John, what'd you think?
I mean, I think it was a good follow-up from last episode where Hernandez attacked him before the title match. Drago's ring look continues to be, like, my 100% favorite. It's just such a badass in presentation with the whole ensemble. Like, he just looks like a badass, even though he's a tiny guy. I went 2.5 on it, too, power versus speed. I think both of them represented well. Razor's edge to the apron, Schiff brought up on Drago, and I got early feels of hardest part of the ring material for you, Logan, on that one. So it was really good. The crowd plant shooting himself on Hernandez on the belt grab, and I thought that was pretty damn funny. Because the fan literally shit himself, and you could totally tell he was a plant.
He was unwell.
Yeah, he was unwell. Drago just can't shake, like, these big fucks messing with him. Like, he's got all these big dudes that just continue. I mean, he had Muertes, now he has Hernandez. So I assume this is going to set up kind of some kind of strap match for Ultima Lucha, because that's where it's going, I assume. I did enjoy Hernandez shitting on the fans and saying dragons aren't real. And then I put, like, I shit on Schiff about Potter. Schiff Potter is not real. And that's how I
want it. Yes, it is. More real than this.
Dragons aren't real, and neither is Harry Potter.
My God, that's funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But I would go 2.5 as well. I think before the, obviously, DQ finish, I think the match was chugging along pretty well. I mean, and it made sense. I think they obviously are going to have another match. So
I'm trying to figure out the hate on Hernandez. Listen, I don't think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread by any stretch, but I don't think he's by far the shittiest wrestler on this show.
He's got turn the channel heat with me.
Oh, God.
He's got what?
Turn the channel heat. Like,
oh, yeah. See, no, I don't have that. No, I don't feel that on him. Mm-hmm. I feel that on Chavo.
And Demon, man. Sexy Star, and I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, it gets worse.
No, I think he was kind of rough in his first few appearances, but he has definitely been better in his last couple of matches for sure. His title match at Puma was pretty good, and I thought this was cooking when it was going. And I think obviously, if given another match, they probably could do some better stuff. So I'm looking forward to a possible rematch for sure. But we go from there. We go to the back. Chavo's prepping for his big match. Katrina then appears and says if he beats Puma, tonight his celebration will be short-lived. Mill will destroy whomever is the champ when the day comes of Ultima Lucha. We then go to our next match. It's going to be Marty the Moth versus Alberto El Patron. Alberto, clearly looking to get some frustration out early, goes right after Marty, starts really waylaying with some strikes and kicks. Marty avoids a charge and gets some shots in, but Alberto quickly gets advantage back with a DDT and works the arm for a bit before locking in the cross arm breaker and winning the match pretty quickly. Alberto then grabs the mic and tells Johnny Mundo to come out here, wants to thank him that because he thought they were friends, but he really woke up an evil, darker side of Alberto. Says that side of him is ruthless and sadistic. Says he tried to destroy his face, the face that his mother gave him. So at Ultima Lucha, he will rip Mundo's face off. Says says turning on him was the worst mistake of his life, but he already knew that. So, Sean, what'd you think of this squash, the promo, and the Chavo Katrina?
So Chavo not being fazed by Muertes pissed me off, because he literally like knows Sol Muertes and was complete and utter bullshit. And I don't care who you are, if Muertes screams at you, you're going to shit your pants, because that fucking scream, like, the man's a beast. So Chavo can go fuck off. Marty the Moth versus Alberto. You know, Alberto, it's interesting. He's a real life piece of shit, but I think he's incredibly over here. Like, the fans absolutely love him. This is a squash, but I was okay with it. And then Alberto comes in hot and cuts a promo to continue to build the Mundo. So kind of inoffensive. Like, I didn't rate it or anything, but I think it kind of served its purpose a little bit, if you ask me. I do love Alberto. Like, I've always liked him, even like in when he was in WWE, how he sets up the arm bar, and it always looks like how he sticks it in, the way he spins around and locks it in. I think that's a really cool visual. So I kind of dig that a little bit too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this was pre him being like a real bad shitbag, but
he was a shitbag prior. We just didn't hear about it until later.
I'm just saying. I think that's before all that kind of shit came out. But I totally get where you're coming from. But Schiff, what'd you think of the couple of scenes in the promo?
All right, I take back what I said, because I forgot that. Like, I have it here in my notes, but like, that Milden also confronts Chavo, which I thought was good, because it's just like, whoever wins, I'm coming for you type thing. Yeah, Marty the Moth surprisingly over with the crowd, and Patron was pissed, like, just very angry, wanting to get his hands like on Mundo, and like, it showed him like good, like, we haven't seen that, like, haven't seen that since he fought Tejano, so it was nice to see that. And he worked over, like, he put him in the armbar ASAP, and it was done. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. And I like how Patron said he thought they were friends, but he wasn't, threw him through the window, woke up the evil part of Patron. Watch out, Paige. So there we go.
This is pre asshole to Paige, right?
Yeah. I don't even think they had dated yet. So
no, she was like 17.
Yeah, true. I think they date when she goes back, or he goes back to WWE, which is not too far in the future, I don't think. So, from where we're at, I mean. I think that was kind of post, or his second WWE run. So, the squash was inoffensive. I thought the promo showed a lot of good fire. So, definitely gets you hyped for that match. Whether it'll be anything great, we'll see. We'll definitely look forward to that one as we go into Ultima Lucha. But we'll go to our main event now. It's going to be Prince Puma defending the title against Chavo. The two guys trade holds and submissions to kind of start things. Chavo gets frustrated by Puma quicking him. Puma's just so much faster than he is. So he kind of tries to bait Conan in to hit him. Chavo then gets a shoulder block in, but Puma kips right back up and arm drags him and starts to work the arm and shoulder. Chavo then, I think he does like a backdrop and he hurts his leg. I said he feigned an injury, but I do think he actually really gets hurt in this situation, because they kind of talk about it later, as we'll talk about. But that brings the crew in. The crew start kind of beating. Do what? Want y'all say something?
No. Keep going. It's okay.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Sometimes shift going to shift, Logan.
I gotcha. So the crew comes in and start beating down Puma. Puma tries to fight them off, but the numbers are just too much. The crew hit a double stomp DDT double team. They have him laid out for the frog splash for Chavo to hit. But Conan then brings out Tejano, which is the Mexican superstar that he was talking about earlier, to help even the odds. And he takes out the crew and downs Chavo. This allows Puma to get to the top rope and hit the 630 for the win. Tejano then says Mexico isn't coming, that Mexico is right here. So Sean, what'd you think of this Puma Chavo main event?
So I hate this as a main event, but in storyline progression, like I said earlier, it makes sense as Puma has been fighting champion and Chavo has been in storyline since the start. So the whole Mexico angle has been a show long story. So I don't have to like it, but it makes sense. And every time I see the crew, I keep hoping that the rest of the crew get killed like the other one did. And that hasn't happened yet for me. This match is total and complete, but it's mainly an angle. I hated it. And then to make it even worse, they make Tejano the great Mexican hitman on Chavo, which really freaking, like, it went over like a fart in the temple. And again, Puma wins from interference, and he looks terrible. So Chavo sells the leg pretty well, so I assume he was really, really hurt. But this match, absolute trash, dud, sucks, fuck off.
Yeah, I do think he really gets hurt here because I think they kind of pivot where they're going for the
I agree, but that's for the better. I mean, listen, I apologize you got hurt, but Chavo, peace out. So
I think it was definitely for the better, like you said. Yep. Chef, what'd you think of Puma versus Chavo?
First off, you remember how I said Vampiro has to get his shit in with Conan? They bicker during the announcing, like where Conan's trying to be like the cool heel. I mean, where Vampiro's trying to be the cool heel. They were trying to do like chin locks and then like Puma reverse to a wrist lock, which I did like.
You liked the wrist lock?
Just, it's the only thing I liked about the match.
Okay. All right.
It's just like the chain wrestling part. Mm-hmm. Then Chavo was trying to get Conan to hit him, which was nice heel work. I wrote that he faked an injury as well, Logan, because that's as sure as hell what it looked like. Because he kept trying to maneuver himself into place, but like, and then he tried to get up. And he saw that he was like favoring his hamstring, like or Achilles, and that's when like you can see how they're like, oh shit, what do we do? So like, you know, the like Puma's fighting the crew a lot, and then Tejano comes down and like he beats down the crew, and then Puma put it out of his misery with the 450. And then Tejano says Mexico's coming for Chavo. So I really hope this is the last time we see Chavo so we can just say that like in Alf, where Alf went back to his homeland, we see that Chavo went back to his homeland. Like, it would just be like, that's how he went out.
I mean, I was hoping Mexico was going to kill him. Like, they killed the other Lucha Baldi in this show, and that didn't come to fruition, so I was very upset.
Yeah. Well, I hate to tell you this, but we're not completely done with Chavo. I don't know that he's around for the next little bit, but he is he's not gone forever, I'll say. But we have one more scene before.
I was hoping that would be the end of him.
Me too.
I'm sorry. But we have one more scene before we finish the episode. We close with a scene with Chavo being frustrated by his loss. Blue Demon comes in, Chavo jumps up, but Demon says he isn't like him and won't fight an injured man. Chavo then asks if Tejano is doing Demon's dirty work for him now. Says Tejano seems like he's Mexico now and gets a reaction out of Demon, or gets reactions that Demon can only dream of at this point. Tells him he's a has-been. Demon then slams him into the lockers and says he is Mexico and walks away. Chavo then smirks as he was just trying to stir some shit as we kind of fade to black. So
spoiler alert, I didn't watch that because I thought it was over.
Oh, no.
Oh, because he started playing the credits.
Yeah, so that makes a whole lot more sense what happens next episode because I was like, what the fuck?
No, I think they pivoted. Like, what I think they did is they filmed that after the fact based on him being injured. Yeah.
So I don't know if I wrote it down in my notes, but in the next episode they talk about that Chavo tore his hamstring. So I think the match was clearly Mexico being represented by Tejano versus Chavo Guerrero, who slided and did whatever to Mexico. That is not the match we will get at Ultima Lucha. So I think they definitely pivoted because he got hurt. Schiff, sticking with you, what did you think of the episode as a whole, and what did you think of, well, you didn't watch the scene, but what did you think of the episode as a whole?
Not the best episode, but I still found some things enjoyable. We got some progression with, like, Mill and, I guess, Puma with each other, but, you know, we have, Alberto and John, like, still moving very slowly towards that. We got a couple episodes. Chavo's out, so Like, you know, we've already sort of beat around the bush about what happens next. Hernandez and Drago seems like a dead issue with, like, him choking him out. Like, I mean, I guess they'll probably set up whatever they call, like, a no DQ match. They'll probably call it, like, I can't even think. My brain's, like, just shutting down. But I just hope Mexico Dubweiser is back next for the next episode.
I believe they are, if I remember correctly. Sean, what did you think of the episode?
So I did like the ending to the transition for the temple to end Chavo's nursing his leg. I think that was something they probably did last minute to pivot based on him being injured. That was my assumption once I realized he was really injured. Mm-hmm. And then I said, why, God damn it, why can't he and Demon both go away? Chavo playing Demon against Tejano as being a better choice of Mexico, I thought was a pretty good, easy way to pivot. Mm-hmm. So clearly that was a transition that they were going to do there. And obviously, you know where that's headed based on what you see in our next episode. So they set it up pretty. I think they really went quick in making that lightning fast decision because they had to. Really, for me, and I said this, and you might disagree, I think this might be the single worst episode of this show that I have watched. It's mostly storyline builds, which honestly sometimes is the best part of this show, but the main was awful. The Drago match with the non-finish, even though it was okay. I give zero shits on Chavo or Tejano or Daivari. And very mad, just outside the story. And by the way, still no Lotus. King Cuerno's disappeared. No Phoenix. Just pretty bad episode. I went 4-10. I did not enjoy this episode at all. Terrible.
Yeah, it's definitely on the lower end for sure. I think Jenny and Jake had one, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 episodes ago that was pretty bad. But yeah, this one's definitely on the lower tier for sure. But yeah, 4 sounds about right.
I think they have one bad episode in their contract to watch every season, right?
Yeah. Every
unlike Schiff and I, who has almost every single one.
I mean, I enjoy watching the bad ones because they're more fun to watch.
Well, no, I do too. Yeah, me too. Yeah. That way you could do the 10-second skip really, really fast on those. So.
Oh, yeah. And of course, as always, it was totally on purpose, and I favor
that. No, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. Because you redeem yourself a little bit on our next episode.
So. I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But we'll go ahead and transition on to episode 35. The title is Fuel to the Fire. We open with highlights from Mills' resurrection and destruction since he's been back. Cage and Max kind of rivalry throughout the last few months. The Putty Men's attack of Team Dysfunction, and as well as Alberto's promo from last week. We then go to Pentagon. He's training and he's praying to his master. Says Vampiro refuses to face him. Says he isn't the man he used to be. The master responds and says he must destroy who he's become then. Pentagon then says he wants to destroy him in the ring. Wants to destroy him at Ultima Lucha. The master then says, get him to his weakest point and have no choice but to be Pentagon's sacrifice. He then calls Vamp by his real name and says that the man, Ian Hodgkinson, will be his sacrifice. We then get Mexican Dubweiser again, so Schiff can be happy. They hype us for the night ahead. Tell us about the Atomico's main event, where Alberto and Mundo will each bring in 3 members of a team for a big tag team main event. And then we also learn that later we have interview with the Vampiro with Pentagon. So, Schiff, what did you – or no, Sean, what did you think of the Pentagon scene and kind of Stryker and Vamp hyping us for the night ahead?
Yeah, so I love the secret Lucha Sensei of Penta. That's kind of cool. It reminded me very WCW Black Scorpion. Rest in peace, Ole Anderson, by the way. I like the setup. I think it was pretty cool. Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Short, simple, to the point. And, you know, you keep the Sensei kind of in hidden secret because I'm sure there's going to be a big reveal that I'll end up hating, just like I did Tejano being for the Mexico Hitman. But still, it keeps a little mystery to it. I might have phased out. You talked about the setup for the 8-person match and all that already.
Yeah.
All right. So the 8-person match and then a Vampiro and Penta interview. I'm interested in seeing that, as Vampiro interviews are usually pretty cringe versus what Matt Stryker calls on this episode. He calls the Vampiro interviews controversial. I call them cringe. So I look forward to seeing how that plays out with him and Penta. It should be at least interesting. At least I thought it would have been as they announced that. The 8-person match. You know, listen, sometimes you got to throw those kind of matches in, and they usually tend to be fun, so we'll see if it plays out tonight.
I got you. Schiff, what did you think of Pentagon's little scene and then them kind of hyping the night ahead.
Pentagon, like, I kind of want them to put the title on Pentagon. Like, he seems, I don't know, as real as you can be in this world. Like he's just like the most, like, not real, like most bizarre, most like likable. So I can see, like, he's supposed to be a heel, but I'm like drawn to him because he's so charismatic with, like, with the no fear. I love how he said Master is talking to the Pentagon, telling him to destroy someone. And you see the Master walk by, but it's like very fast, like sped up. And he says Ian Hoxton will be the sacrifice. It's like, oh, we're getting, and like this is how it go, where it's like one step forward, two steps back, because they're dropping the real name, brother. They're dropping the real name. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you know it's a shoot, brother. It's a shoot, bro. What are we doing? Then they talk about, they call it a match, and it's like, we've never had this match before. And I think it's a good idea because all these wrestlers have problems with each other. So it's a good way to keep it fresh in everyone's mind.
And it gets a lot of people featured all at once too. So
yeah,
yeah, there's that. But yeah, it also provides that little spark for all their rivalries and, you know, getting them on the screen for sure. But we will move on to our first match. It's going to be the Mac versus Cage. Stryker before the match calls Mac the Lucha Ron Funches to kind of show that he's cool and hip. Ron Funches is obviously a comedian. He's a big wrestling fan, so I'm sure, you know, Stryker asked if he could hype him up there or whatever, but I thought that was...
I'm marking out, bro. That's really, what he said on yeah, a commentary one time.
Yeah, a real lame line by Stryker there, but they immediately go after each other, throwing big bombs. Cage scores with a twisting power slam. Mac then moves on a Cage moonsault attempt and hits him with a basement dropkick. Big chops from the Mac, and then a big brain buster, but only gets two on the count. Mac then goes for a power slam, but Cage slips out and hits a neckbreaker. Cage then hits a stalling suplex on Mac, which is, of course, a super impressive. Mac's a huge guy, so the fact that Cage can hold him up there for any period of time is awesome. Cage then sets Mac up on top, but Mac fights him off and hits a springboard shining wizard. He then hits him with a big splash in the corner and then hits a exploder suplex into the corner. Mac then goes up top, but misses a frog splash, and Cage gets back up and nails a discus clothesline. Back up again, they're throwing bombs just back and forth at each other, back and forth, before Mac actually catches him off guard and wins with a surprise roll-up. So, Chef, what do you think of Cage versus Mac here?
All right, this match surprised me with how good it was, but it shows how Cage went from a killer to, like, just another guy. It makes me feel like when King Kong Bundy was the killer and then lost in WrestleMania 2 and then fought Skyla Low in WrestleMania 3. That's how dramatic I think that, like, it's been. Like, he's no longer, like, the killer I'm scared of. It's just, like, another guy. But I do like they're doing something with the Mac. Like, I even wrote he had the jobber entrance versus Cage. Like, I thought Cage was going to destroy him because we had already seen him get destroyed in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see, like, that. And that beautiful stalling. That was a beautiful stalling suplex as well. Mm-hmm. And then Mac missed the frog splash, got hit with the discus clothesline, and got two. Like, I thought that was nice as well. And then Mac reversed the powerbomb. And he actually hit a Superman punch as well. Also, we need to talk about this. Stryker said that Vamp is a guardian angel during commentary.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
And I was like the fucking big boss man? And it's just threw me for a loop. But yeah, I actually like this match. I want a lot. I went 3.25.
Nice. Sean, what'd you think?
Yeah, I loved it too. This was just like a pure beat slappy match. And yep. To Schist's point, to me, I feel like neither one of them could afford a loss at this point because Cage and Mac both, like I even complained about it on the episode we just talked about where Aerostar, I guess, got a win in a match that they were both in. But Cage with a walking suplex was pretty badass. There's a Mac knee off the corner ropes to Cage that echoed like throughout the whole temple, and I'm sure he slapped it like his thigh, but the whole freaking temple just echoed when he connected with it. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Mac did the exploder suplex into the corner. The discus clothesline by Cage was great. I mean, I just like a nice, stiff, like, just good meat slapping match, and this was it. And then I also like, you know, the surprise, the win. I mean, Mac, It wasn't like your typical, like, I predicted that win. Like, he won with kind of a wrestling move that I didn't expect. So, it's pretty good. Really good, actually. And Cage losing stinks. But Mac, I think Mac needed a win because I don't think he's won a match yet. But it was to the point and actually what it should have been. I actually also went 3.25 stars. I thought this was really, really, really good. A lot better than I could have imagined. So, really good.
Yeah, both of these guys are super talented, so it didn't surprise me all that much. But, this was kind of a matchup, kind of like you just said, Sean, of two guys that really couldn't afford a loss. And I think it doesn't super hurt Cage for losing because it was kind of a surprise, kind of out of nowhere roll-up.
No, and Mac needed it more than Cage, but neither one of them should be losing, so...
Yeah. And I think this becomes a series. So I think we'll see more matches between the two of them. So
sweet.
Looking forward to checking more of those matches out. But yeah, I would go 3.25 as well. Really strong stuff. They're just two absolute units of a human being, but they can fly and do crazy athletic stuff for their size. So just really two really good guys to kind of throw out there to kind of start your show in ring. So really good stuff. We then go to the back where we see Katrina messing with Son of Havoc. She says soon her putty men, a.k.a. the Disciples of Death, will be after his gold. But tonight Death is coming for him, 1,000 of them. Evil East then shows up and tells her to back up, bitch.
Amazing.
Before Havoc gets in between them. Before pulling Havoc in between them, and then Katrina kind of vanishes. The lights then cut back on, and Ivelisse is on top of Havoc. And Helico, of course, catches them, comes back and says, "Oh, God, don't tell me y'all are getting back together." And then they both tell him to shut up as we cut away.
That was amazing. I laughed so hard at that.
Me too. I did too. It's really good.
Well, the interview's next, so I'll kind of go to y'all now. But Sean, what do you think of this kind of interaction?
Katrina with Havoc. The first thing I noticed is she is taller than Havoc was, to be perfectly honest. And if Death is coming for me and she looks like that, I'm all in to die. I'm good. I love the back off, bitch. I love the you remember early on, I used to call this Team Cuck, right? Mm-hmm. I really love this trio, and the comedy they intertwine it with Angelico finding Ivelisse on top of Havoc was amazing. I really dig this storyline with these three, and this episode is already better than the last one just in the opening segments. This was good shit. I really enjoyed this.
I got you. Schiff, what'd you think?
Yeah, Team Dysfunction is awesome. Like, you know, like how Sean said, we didn't care about Son of Havoc and Ivelisse before. And now I'm like in a Helico. I was like, oh, now it's just like, this is awesome. And I love like they're saying how the putty men are after the gold. Death is coming for Son of Havoc. And at least just saying back off, bitch. And like them like falling apart. And it's like, really? And I love in Helico was just like, I can't deal with this. If y'all get back together, like I just can't. Like, don't let it happen.
But please don't put me through that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We move on from there. Stryker and Vamp kind of hype Ultima Lucha. That two big matches are already signed. We've kind of known about these, but Mundo versus Alberto, of course, and then Puma and Muertes for the title. We then go to an interview with a Vampiro with Pentagon Jr. Vamp apologizes for getting involved in his business. Starts off with the interview with asking him who the master is straight up. Penta, of course, kind of gives no answer and just kind of sits there menacingly. Vamp then talks about his violence and his aggressiveness, says it kind of reminds him of himself. Penta then agrees that they are alike and that they like to inflict pain on others. Penta then asks, who is he now, Vampiro or a coward? Vamp then gets fired up and says he isn't a coward, and if he wants to throw down, he'll kick his ass right now. Says his time is over and wants to let the guys of today have their time. Penta then says if he isn't a coward, to prove it, face him at Ultima Lucha. Vamp then says no. Penta calls him pathetic and weak. Says he'll show who Vamp really is and who Pentagon Jr. is to the world. So pretty heated interview there. But Schiff, what do you think of Penta's little back and forth with Vamp there?
Truly, I love seeing this Pentagon and Vampiro stuff. I love how Vampiro apologizes to Pentagon immediately. And like Pentagon's saying they're similar because they like pain. And like, because actually Vampiro had talked about how he did the previous episode, a hardcore match with Hernandez in Mexico. So like, if you're paying attention, it sort of like ties that stuff together. Mm-hmm. And I love how Vampiro is like, my time is come and gone. Like, I'm done here. And then Pentagon saying he has zero fear and like ends the, and the whole time he's talking is in Spanish, like, and Vampiro is mm-hmm. talking in English. So I thought it was like, I'm not bowing down to you. It's, I really enjoyed that. I want to see what's coming next. But yeah, it's show me more Pentagon, damn it. Which
luckily damn it, we give get me to. More. yeah, I gotcha. Sean, what'd you think?
Okay, so this might be a shit take because I feel the exact opposite of how Shift feels about this interview. Vampiro apologizing, and then he turns around and tells Penta he's going to kick his ass, so it's very bipolar, I thought, because he went guardrail to guardrail. Then he starts talking about his family, and then he talks about being a 32-time world champion. Where the fuck was Vampiro 32-time world champion, Logan?
I guess somewhere in Mexico. I guess he was like...
Okay, well, I don't know where in Mexico, but I've never in the history of Vampiro heard he's been a 32-time world champion. And then it all felt very forced, to be honest, mostly in Vampiro because his overacting. I felt like it wasn't authentic. Like, it felt very, very forced to me, but it was mostly on his end. So it's kind of meh. I actually expected more out of this segment, and I actually didn't like it that much. I thought it should have been more intense and actually better than it was. So it might be a shit take, but that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, I don't think it lacked in intensity, but I think Vamp is definitely not a very good actor, so he kind of struggles in these.
Oh, by the way, and I would also feel better about this if Penta hadn't already lost a fucking match to Sexy Star. So let's not forget that, but here we are. Again, maybe I'm just overthinking it. I don't know, but
I think the match will definitely live up.
Oh, I'm sure the match will deliver, but just early booking thing, you know? So
mm-hmm. No, I got you. Yeah, I know. I thought I enjoyed it. I thought Penta showed up plenty of intensity. But I definitely get where you're coming from with Vamp.
Yeah, no, Penta was great.
I think that's more just having Vamp issues than anything. So, but we'll move from there to our next match. It's going to be Mil Muertes versus Son of Havoc, kind of set up earlier in the locker room. Havoc is able to get Muertes off guard early in a way that kind of nobody has to this point since he came back. Havoc kind of punctuates this with some early offense with a springboard crossbody. Muertes then catches Havoc on a back handspring elbow attempt and then just kind of hurls him out of the ring. He then runs him into the barricade and throws him into a row of chairs at ringside, grabs a chair and smacks him with it, and then powerbombs him on the announce table. Mil then continues to bludgeon him around the outside. Havoc is able to duck a charge against the ropes and have Mil fall to the outside. He then hits a suicide dive out onto him. Back in the ring, hits a double foot stomp to the back and a standing moonsault. Goes back up to the top, but gets goozled. Slips out of a clothesline, but ends up getting caught with a right hand. Mil then puts him up on the top rope where Havoc fights him off. Goes for the shooting star press, but misses. Katrina then flirts with Angelico, and Ivelisse cuts her off. She then summons the Putty Men, a.k.a. the Disciples of Death, who take out Angelico. She then smacks Ivelisse with the stone. Havoc then does a crazy dive out onto everyone. Havoc then is back in the ring and gets absolutely crushed with a clothesline and a spear. Mil then hits the flatliner for the win, and then Havoc, of course, gets the lick of death. So, Sean, what did you think of this match between Son of Havoc and Mil Muertes?
God, how many licks does it take to get to the center? Anyway, Katrina, whatever. She's been freaking amazing with her licks tonight. That's the first note
you just said.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, first note I made is, well, this should end well for Havoc. Because, there's a really big, if Katrina is taller than Havoc, Havoc next to Mills is something else. Katrina's dress tonight is all-time lit. She's hanging out of it. She looks pretty hot. The match is good. One thing that bugged me is I felt Havoc got too much offense, more than Drago did in their match, if you think about it, because the mm-hmm. Drago match was kind of a squash, but I feel like Havoc got more offense, which did make a lot of sense. I really want to see a match between Ivelisse and Katrina. I don't know if we're ever going to get it, but I love the dynamic between the two. I love the end where Havoc has to make a choice to take out the Putty Men. to help Ivelisse, and then Muertes destroys him for the win. Really good match. I went 3.25, and I actually want to see the six-man now at Ultimate. Like, they have totally sold me. Like, the putty men do nothing for me, but just the dynamic of the six-man with Angelico, Havoc, and Ivelisse, I just absolutely love it. And then Katrina, I think, honestly, probably looks the hottest I've ever seen in the history of this show here tonight. She looks amazing. So 3.25 for me. I liked it.
Schiff, what do you think?
I'm a little concerned at how well me and Sean are linking up tonight as we're linking up Lucha. As I went 3.25. Yes, sir. I went 3.25 as well. I really enjoyed this match. And, you know, like you said, I wasn't really caring about the putty men. I thought they would just be like Mills. Like, remember when Dark Order first debuted and they had all like their putty men as well? Uh-huh. And then, like, I thought they would just be more like that. But I like that they're actually getting like a six-man title shot and everything. Son of Havoc actually had some pretty good offense on Mill. I thought this was going to be a straight squash, but it wasn't. And he only really lost because he went to, like, protect, like, Ivelisse. Mm-hmm. So, like, but I will say, like, I like the ref being scared of Mill because he threw Havoc into the crowd and he grabbed a chair and was beating him down with said chair and even powerbombed him on the announce table. I was like, damn, this is going to be a squash. But then, like, Son of Havoc actually hits, like, the suicide dive, then the coup de grace and the standing moonsault, and only got one. So it's like, oh, Puma, you poor, poor child. So I will say, Mill, I've said this before, he needs a better finisher that's more like Impact, because the flatliner doesn't do it for me. So, like, he needs something like how Cage has, like, the F5 or, you know, the HGH5, whatever it's called. So, it was very enjoyable. Like, the stuff we've seen so far is already better than, like, the past episode. Like, with just, like, it seems like we got a couple more weeks to Ultimate Lucha. Let's start turning into high gear.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed this one as well. And I was kind of surprised, like Sean said, that Havoc got so much offense. I was kind of surprised it was as back and forth as it was. But I think it just shows, you know, Havoc's kind of resilience that they've shown in the tag match or the trios matches for the last, you know, month or so. So I think it worked for that part. But yeah, Mill still looks dominant, still ragdolls him and throws him around the temple and powerbombs him on the table and all that good stuff. So he still looked dominant and, you know, really destroyed him at certain points. So. But yeah, I'd go 3.25 as well. Definitely thought it was really strong. And you know, it kind of shows that Havoc maybe can exist and be a big time star in the singles realm as well. So we'll see if he gets any of that kind of stuff down the line. And obviously, Muertes wins again, so heading towards his big title match. So definitely looking forward to all that. But we'll go back to the ring. Tejano's in the ring with a mic. Says he's never been a nice dude, but he's always been Mexicano. Says he loves hurting people, breaking bones, and whipping asses. He says he can't be trusted, but he'll never turn on his country or his countrymen. Says he doesn't care about all the legends that came before him, but he knows he hates Chavo and wants to settle this once and for all at Ultima Lucha. He won't take no for an answer. The crew then come out and attack him. Blue Demon then comes out and seemingly tries to save Tejano, but the crew slide a chair in the ring, and then Blue Demon grabs it and cracks Tejano over the head with it, continues pounding him with weapons, grabs the mic, says he is Mexico, and that he doesn't need anyone to fight his battles for him, and at Ultima Lucha, they will face each other off for the pride of Mexico. So Schiff, what'd you think of this, little, Demon turning on, Tejano and Tejano's kind of promo about Chavo?
So as told about 25 minutes ago, I was shocked, because I missed that scene. So I thought the episode was over. So seeing Blue Demon, who was supposed to be like, you know, they kind of had him like a true baby face right there. Just turn heel so quick. Because they're fighting over, like, who's Mexico, where it's like, we should be on the same page. So it's a little, you can definitely tell there was a pivot because like Chavo was supposed to get his comeuppance. We can't really do that since he tore everything off his hamstring or his Achilles. So we have to slide over there, and the crew are getting passed around like a stripper at a Duke Lacrosse party. And
a bad one at that.
Yeah. And like they're just going from like bad to worse. Like I liked them with Big Rick at first, and then with Chavo, and then it's like we're bottom of the barrel here when we're with Blue Demon now, who looks every bit of 55 years old. And like I know that like, they're supposed to I don't think he should be wearing his mask with like jeans and a collared shirt like an old man tucked into his pants. So it's just not a great look. At least unbutton the t-shirt, the collared shirt, or like pull it out of your pants. You know, I'm all in on the Tejano train, so there you go, Sean.
Rude. That's what I think.
Rude. So yeah, on to you, Sean.
Yeah.
All right. So I just stayed a sound effect of what I think of this whole segment. So this episode has been real awesome. So of course they have to like interrupt it with Tejano and a Blue Demon. Listen, I don't have to like it. But I think what they did was good for thinking in the moment to pivot away from Chavo. So it makes sense. But again, I don't give a single shit about any of these guys. I don't care about the Lucha Baldies. I don't care about Demon. I don't give a fuck about Tejano. I guess the only good thing out of this is we got blood. And again, give them credit on the pivot. If they are going to face it, Ultima Lucha or whatever, they should make it the dark match. So I don't have to watch it. So, but segment as a whole was fine in theory. I just don't give a shit about any of these guys. So that's my take.
I got you. No, I mean, I don't blame you. That definitely the match I'm least looking forward to.
And Schiff, I'm sorry. Hernandez
and Drago.
Hernandez and Drago is better than this bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, and they had what was going to be a good match before the kind of not finished DQ. So
you're telling me you want to see this match before you want to see that match? Like, which match would you pick?
If it's a bull rope match, at Tejano whooping his ass with the bull rope, yes.
Oh my God, Schiff, really?
We'll see when we get there. It may live up or go above our expectations. We will see. We'll wait and pass judgment when it happens.
No, I'll pass judgment now.
Okay.
I think he already passed it.
He passed something. I'm just kidding. But we'll move on to our main event. It's going to be our Atomico's 8-man tag. It's going to be Patron, Sexy Star, Aerostar, and Drago versus Mundo, Hernandez, Superfly, and Jack Evans. Before the match, as the teams are coming to the ring, they tell us that Drago and Hernandez is official for Ultima Lucha. I believe it gets a stip, but they didn't announce that it had a stip yet, but I think it gets a stip.
Yeah, I wonder what that could be.
We'll see. Mundo and Alberto kind of face off to start the match, but Mundo quickly slinks away and tags into Jack Evans. Evans then displays this athleticism, Jesus, before getting slapped by Alberto. So he kind of does some like crazy flips and jumps and stuff and like that, and Alberto just slaps him across the face. He then gets slammed and kicked in the head. Aerostar then gets tagged in. They have a strike exchange that leads to Aero hitting a Meteora. Evans then is able to get a jawbreaker and then throws Aerostar into his corner and tags in Superfly. Fly then shows off his athleticism as well, but gets hit with a tilt-a-whirl head scissors. Fly then boots him into the corner before getting hit with a big leaping arm drag by Drago, who had tagged in. Drago then baits Fly in and makes him miss on a dive, leading to Hernandez coming in. The way this match works is like it's kind of a tornado tag, but they kind of still stand on the apron and stuff like a regular tag. But if somebody's like down and gets knocked out of the ring, people just kind of come in as they kind of want, or you know, as it kind of, you know, as the match kind of progresses. Drago then gets a few kicks in before tagging in Alberto again. Alberto then bounces off the ropes, but Mundo kicks him in the back. He chases after him, but all the heels attack him on the outside. Back in, Hernandez tags in Mundo, starts hitting with some strikes and shoulders to the gut in the corner. Alberto then evades the charge in the corner, but so does Mundo, and he tags Superfly back in. Alberto then kicks him in the knee and super kicks him. Aerostar then gets tagged in and dumps Fly to the outside. Evans is then in, and Drago cuts him off with a dropkick. Arrow then does a crazy dive out onto Evans and Superfly. Drago then also does a crazy corkscrew dive out onto everyone. Star, Sexy Star then follows and does another crazy dive. Alberto then starts to do a dive of his own, but Mundo cuts him off. Alberto then chases Mundo all the way to the back of the temple. They eventually come back out to the ring, but they kind of go to the back for a little bit. Aerostar then rolls fly back in and hits his free fall splash, but for some reason he doesn't think it's enough this time and goes for something else, but Evans cuts him off. Fly then puts the boots to Aerostar and tags in Hernandez. Hernandez then catches him on a dive and hits a powerbomb. Mundo then gets tagged back in, war kicks, and a big knee. Arrow is then able to reverse a move into a sunset flip, but before he can get him over, Mundo tags in Evans. Evans then hits Aerostar with a nasty dropkick. Arrow then hits a back handspring elbow. Mundo then comes back out and immediately elbows Alberto off of the apron. Star then tags in and delivers some chops to Mundo. Goes for a dropkick but misses. Evans then comes in and holds her for Mundo to attack, but he ends up getting clotheslined himself. Star then hits a tilt-a-whirl head scissors on Mundo. Fly is then in and whiffs on a back handspring elbow. Star then hits a leg drop, only for Hernandez to come in and hit her with a backbreaker. Drago then hits a tilt-a-whirl DDT on Mundo. The rest of the heels then come in and put the boots to Drago. Alberto then comes in and cleans house, locking in a cross-arm breaker on Evans. While it's locked in, Mundo hits the end of the world, and then Star goes for a crossbody and hits it, but Mundo, of course, uses her momentum, rolls her over, and uses the tights to steal the win. And then I'll just go ahead and go into the... Well, no, I'll get y'all's thoughts on the match. Schiff, what did you think of this tag match?
To be honest, I thought it was a little disappointing. I guess I was expecting more from all these guys. I will say I'm going to get Sean the Book of Vampiro because he said it's on Amazon. Sadly, I was unable to find it. So there's that. I even have a note here that Superfly sucks. He gave the worst kick to Drago ever. The only thing I did like was at the start was how Mundo was staying away from Patron. He would tag out. Then it's like, I don't know. I just really wasn't feeling this 8-man match. And I've been feeling literally everything else we talked about tonight. But,
yeah, even the ones you shouldn't.
Exactly. I will say Jack Evans, I think, was my MVP. Like, I just thought he's so smooth in the ring. He doesn't get enough. The very end was nice with Patron getting the cross-arm arm breaker. Then Mundo hit Starship Pain on Patron. But then, like, we see how Mundo is truly a dirtbag heel where he rolled through a crossbody block that Sexy Star hit on him, and he held onto the tights for the win. So it just, like, proves, like, Patron's the face, Mundo is the heel. Like, I went 2.5 on this. Like I said, I was kind of disappointed. Like, I was expecting so much more, and we just didn't really get it.
Yeah, I feel like it was chaotic, but it could have been more chaotic, and I think it would have been more in its favor. But, Sean, what did you think?
Listen, I think matches like this sometimes are cool to just throw in, and I like how they set up with Team Mundo versus Team Patron. So I was okay with kind of what it was based on the storyline. Yeah. And by the way, I got to give you credit, Logan. I mean, you do a really good job with these multi-man shits. Like, you've done it. I've been on other pods where you've had to do it. For some reason, you managed to do it. I don't know how you keep your patience, but you do a very good job. So I'm going to give you props. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because this, for me, was just too much to keep up with. I thought it was fun. I'm enjoying the Alberto Amundo build and actually look forward to their match. Aerostar has really started to shine, obviously. I thought it was a fun sprint. Sometimes, again, you just throw these kind of matches in and everyone on the heel and face side has their main rival here, with the exception of Arrow and Evans. I don't think they're feuding, but everybody else has a feud going on. Mm-hmm. We learned that Phoenix will be out of action for the next few months. So I assume that's to sell what happened with him and Muertes a couple episodes ago, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I
don't think they have a timetable on it, but it could be months, but I think it ends up kind of being weeks. So
okay.
We'll see.
Alberto set up his arm bar. Like I said, we talked about that earlier. I love how he sets it up and locks it in. I thought the Mundo break of it was good. Star's crossbody, I thought, looked a little botched, but I also think that was Mondo's fault because he caught her, kind of stood there for a minute, and then decided to roll over.
Yeah.
And then Sexy Star continues to take the L's, but I thought she was good in this one. I thought she was okay, and I think Mondo having to hold the tights for her to keep her down kind of saves her face a little bit. Mm-hmm. I went 2 3/4. Again, I think to your guys' point, it could have been better, could have been a little more chaotic, but I thought it was just solid fun, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, there was not a ton of storyline to this other than like we said, like the rivalries kind of matching up together. But
yeah,
this is just kind of like you said, just kind of one of those matches you kind of throw out there, you know, to have a fun time. But it's nothing really special, and I do think it could have been better, like we've both said, and. I definitely think it could have had a little bit more chaos, and it could have been a little better, but I just don't really think that that's what they were going for here. I think it was more to kind of just tease that Mundo and Alberto were in the same match, and they have a little bit of interaction, but not too much to where you're getting a little too much before their match at Ultima Lucha. So, just a solid match, but nothing absolutely spectacular or anything like that. But we go back to the announce table, which is kind of random because we never do that at the end of shows, which will lead to kind of what happens. But Striker then hypes the face-to-face next week between Puma and Mill, so they'll go face-to-face in the temple. Penta then sneaks in and kicks Vamp in the back of the head. I thought that was a really sick kick that he hits. He also smacks him with a steel chair twice. Dedicates a sacrifice to the shell of a man to his master. Starts pouring gasoline on Vampiro. Says Vampiro is afraid of him, and if he doesn't accept his challenge, next week he will light him on fire. And he has 1 week to answer his challenge. So, Sean, what did you think of Penta threatening to light Vampiro on fire here?
I don't think it could have been much better. The end was great with the cell of Puma and Muertes, and then I call it a 5-star Penta sneak attack on Vampiro, dumping the gas on him, kick to the head, the chair shots. Penta was fantastic here. And I'm now like totally fully invested in this match. What I really loved about it was he lights the lighter and then And I love the blowout of the flame as they transition right to the end. I think this is a great, I mean, you could have done the ending much better. I think it was awesome.
I got you. Schiff, what'd you think?
It was awesome. Like they did the NXT ending, which I guess technically they did first. And with him, I was like lighting him on fire.
I was too. I was half hoping like they had some way they were going to do that to really sell it. But
Yeah. Vampiro let my boy Sting on fire at Great American Bash 2000. So I was like, let that
revenge.
Yeah, revenge is a bitch. So
and then he fell off the Tron in the back.
Yeah, it was horrible. Well, last WWE pay-per-view I ordered, my parents looked at me and said, we're not paying for this shit anymore. So,
don't blame them. It was 2000, but it was
real rough. Yeah. But like, I love how he douses him in gasoline and like the fans don't even like get the fuck away. Like if I saw someone like 3 feet away from me dousing someone in gasoline, I'm like, I should probably get away right now.
But I don't know. Wait till we go to GCW. That tends to happen a lot.
I might ask Joey Janela for me to let me light someone on fire. I liked how he's like, I give you 1 week to accept the challenge. Then I'm going to burn you and your whole family. Because like Vampiro's
so amazing.
A daughter. And I was like, they can bring the daughter out here to watch her dad die? Because I'm in. So like, this might be the match I'm most excited for at Ultimate Lucha. Unless we see a sacrifice next week.
We'll see, I guess. But yeah, just a really strong way to end the episode. Like I said, that kick to the back of the head was sick alone, and then he kind of pounds on him a little bit more and obviously threatens to light him on fire. So yeah, just an awesome way to end the episode for sure. But Shiv, I'll stick with you. What'd you think of the episode as a whole?
Oh, a very solid episode. I really enjoyed it all besides this 8-man, which I didn't think that was that good, easy for me to say, but no, very good. We're ramping up for Ultimate Lucha. I'm excited to see what Jake and Jenny see in the last episode for Ultimate Lucha. I'm looking forward to watching Ultimate Lucha to see like if they thought like season one was one and done, or if we're gonna get some type of dangling thread for season two. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think once the initial like little surge of episodes happen, I think season two was always going to happen. Now, after season two, I think it was always kind of a we'll see if it continued. So, but we'll get into that as we go a little further. But Sean, what'd you think of the episode as a
whole? Polar opposite of the first episode you watched. I thought the story was good. We had, for me, I think we had 2 3-star matches plus. We had 1 2¾ for me. What's weird though is we still have no Lotus. There was no Dawn tonight. There's no no Kill Shot, no Phoenix, no Cuerno. So we're missing some key players, but it was still a really good show. And I'm trying to think, like, if I put it on a rating scale of, you know, 1 to 10, I probably would have gone a solid 8 on this one. I thought it was a really, really good balance of a show. So I really, really enjoyed this one. This one was good.
I'll tell you, a couple of your key players will be in the next couple of episodes that you just mentioned.
Well,
so,
well, I miss my deer head hat, my deer head shit. So yes. I need my hunter back. I need him back.
Yeah, so. I'll just let you know. A couple of those guys you just mentioned do appear in the next couple episodes. So,
well, I feel like they've been missing for like weeks and months. Like it seems like it's been a long time. But then again, Schiff and I only record this episode or this pod once a month, so that might be why. Who knows?
But also, these episodes they show once a week. So, Sean, you're still right.
Yeah, that's my point.
It's not that they were dropping 2 episodes a week. These was one episode a week. Yeah. So these people weren't being seen for 6 or 7 weeks. Like, could you imagine, like, a Lost? Like, say you're watching Lost, right? And Jack was in episode 1, and we didn't see him again to episode 8 or 9. That's how it feels.
Yeah, like, Lotus is in prison across from the cell, right? Wasn't that where we left it off, and we haven't heard a word since?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of trash talks her and walks away and then wins.
Yeah, so it's just weird. That was such a huge storyline, and now it's kind of like, well, what the fuck? You know? So, I don't know.
We'll get back to that for sure. I'm not exactly sure when in the episodes we'll see her again, but I know, obviously, they don't let that storyline go away. So, I think it's just... With people not being in the ring, I think it's mostly just kind of, you know, they kind of go in phases. Like, somebody's really featured, and they might have to go, they might be going to do work somewhere else. You know, they might be, you know, taking a AAA tour for a little bit.
But Killshot, like I said, they debuted all those three at the same time, like Mac, Killshot, and Rick. They haven't done shit with Killshot.
Yeah.
Killshot's weird.
Yeah. I know, I get you. But like I said, I think they just, they're signed with other, not signed with other promotions, but, you know, I think they just have other appearances, and maybe it just worked out to where he's was there those few weeks and maybe had to be somewhere else. But he's much
more. All I'm going to say, Logan, Killshot is what got me into this, because he made me watch a match of his on YouTube Roulette when I was on that show, when I used to be on it. So I'm like waiting for him to come so I can get my full on kill shot, you know?
Yeah, he'll be much more prominently featured in the upcoming season. So he'll be in the next episode. I'll tell you, he's in a match on the next episode. So
what a swerve.
Yeah. Sorry.
Whose house?
Kill shot's
house. Swerve's house.
But we will move on to some awards. Match of the night. Sean, who'd you got on that one?
Oh, shit. you know what? I think I'm going to go with Mac versus Cage. I think I went 3¼ on it, but I just loved it. And, you know, again, I like a good hoss match, and that was a really good match, I thought. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, that's what I would go with as well. Schiff, who would you go with for match of the night?
Yeah, that was my highest star match. So, yeah, I go as well.
All right. Schiff, what would be your moment of the night?
Pentagon trying to light Vampiro on fire.
No, all right. Sean, what would you go with?
I agree.
Yeah, that attack at the end is definitely, definitely for sure. Cinematic scene. Sean, what would you go with on that one?
Oh, fuck. You know what? Obviously, the six-man stuff in the back with Katrina and then... And Helico walking in. Like, I love the six man stuff in the back. That made me laugh and it popped me and it was fun and I enjoyed that scene.
All right. Schiff, what would you go with?
I agree. It definitely wasn't the one I missed.
Yeah, that one may have been the most important to the future of the second episode, but yeah, I would go with that one as well. It had a little bit of comedy, some good drama in there as well, so really good stuff. And Schiff, who would be your top three, and who is your MVP out of those three?
Pentagon is the top three and MVP. Mm-hmm. I should say Tejano to piss off Sean, but Mill coming for, and I'm saying Willie Mack for getting the jobber entrance and actually getting the win on Cage.
I got you. Sean, who would be your top three in your MVP?
Agree with Penta on, or Penta with Schiff on both of those. Mm-hmm. I would go with Mills. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's got to be Katrina. She was licking shit left and right tonight, so I got to go with Katrina.
Licking shit, huh?
how many licks of death did she give tonight? I mean, I think it was an all-timer these two episodes.
Yeah, so. she's been real frisky lately. So there's been a lot of licking, a lot of almost licking.
And that damn dress she wore, holy shit! Yeah, it's gotta be. She's gotta be in there for sure.
I gotcha. I would go Penta, obviously, and he would be my MVP as well, just with the interview and the attack at the end. I would throw Mac in there as well. And yeah, Mill just continuing to be an absolute force and a badass, just wrecking shop everywhere he goes. So, really good stuff, but, that'll do for awards tonight. I'll go for plugs real quick. Scott, what you got?
You could find me on PTBN Wrestling Network with YouTube Roulette. That's about it. You can also find me on Territorial. That episode hasn't dropped yet. That's here on the North South feed. I'm joined by Logan Crossland and Sean Kidd. You can also find Sean and Logan with Jake and Jambalaya Jake and Lewis and Ben and Souza on Highway to the Impact Zone. Then with that, Logan's also on Talking Docs here every fourth Wednesday on the with the Jenny Position feed. Logan's also with the NXT podcast that drops every 7.5 weeks. It's on the Wrestling feed, him and Andy Atherton. And then you can also find Logan on the Wrap, where he's basically taking my job as being a rotating guest host with Jake. And they are in the middle of summer 2003, or as I like to call it, the summer that kills Jacob Williams. Kane has lit JR on fire. We're leading to a SummerSlam where Goldberg should have won the title but didn't. Spoilers. And did I miss anything?
I think you covered it all. We're about to do Vengeance 03 on that pod, so we'll do that, and then we'll be on the full build to SummerSlam. But Sean, did he miss anything that you want?
No, I was just going to say on Territorial here on North South Feed, we are actually going to move to every 2 weeks versus once a month for the foreseeable future. So by the time this one comes out, I actually recorded one. I did an Ole Anderson tribute, which focuses on Ole's face turn in 1987 when he left the Horsemen. So give that one a listen when it drops. So.
Gotcha. And like Schiff said, we did Highway to the Impact Zone.
Oh yes, that one. Yes.
We just go ahead. He plugged it already, but we did Genesis 2006 that should be coming out fairly soon, and it was an absolute train wreck. So
that pod should never come out.
Sean went full Schiff, so definitely check that out and listen to the hilarity.
But not full Harpeth Kanui.
He didn't go full Harpeth. You're right.
I still don't know what that's about, by the way. I have no clue.
Just it's better off that way. Just leave well enough alone.
Okay.
But thank you everyone for joining us as always, and we will see you next time we enter the temple.